Good morning. Welcome to Austin Bible Church. We're delighted to have you with us today. We are very blessed, and today is abundant, the abundant grace blessings of our Father on our behalf, to have Paul and Lena Miles with us this morning from Ukraine. And I asked Paul if he would speak and present Bold Grace Ministries for us. He's going to take about 20 minutes or so to introduce himself and his wife Lena and the ministry of how the Lord is working through them and working in Ukraine. And this is Paul's third or fourth time, I think, to visit ABC. He spoke once before on a Wednesday night. This is his first chance to speak on a Sunday morning, and delighted to have him back. Paul is from Texas, but has been living in Kiev and Lviv and other places in Ukraine. I'm sure he'll tell you all about that. And Lena was a student at the Word of God Bible College when I first met her, and then she graduated, and then she became a translator for the school. And so I've worked with her. She's even translated my goofy language and expressions and different things and done very well with it. And so you might pray for her in that regard. And other aspects there. So Paul, please bring us your report.
Am I working now?
You are.
Okay. It's great to be back at Austin Bible Church. My niece just celebrated her fourth birthday this past week. I remember the first time I came out here just as a guest, my sister was pregnant. So that means I started coming out here about 4 years ago. I had gotten a bachelor's degree in Russian from the University of Texas at Arlington, and I was looking for some kind of free grace group out in Eastern Europe to get involved with. So I Googled free grace, dispensationalism, and Ukraine. Not a whole lot of things pop up when you Google free grace, dispensationalism, and Ukraine. But one thing that did pop up was Jim Meyer's ministry, which y'all have been supporting and involved with for a long time, where Bob has been a teacher in his college for several years. That's where Lena studied as well. So I found them, and I stalked around and found who all is involved, you know, and everything, and I found out that y'all's church was involved, so I was in Austin for the weekend and dropped on in. It's been a real pleasure getting to know Bob 2 and 3 as well over the past years, and Elvira and Lena, so it's great to see all of y'all here behind the scenes with all that. So we started Bold Grace in 2013. We started an Eastern European branch of a ministry that was already in existence here in America. We've talked a little bit about that before. Since my last time out here in 2013, there have been a lot of changes in Ukraine. I'm sure y'all are aware of the Maidan Revolution and the conflict out east. And as I travel around America frequently, I'm faced with this question: what's happening in Ukraine? Frequently I hear what's happening in the Ukraine. It should be Ukraine, not the Ukraine. Kind of a big deal for nationalists. We've looked a lot at what's happening in Ukraine, and you go to the news and they talk about all the political strife and everything, but the fact of the matter, the real issue, the real heart of the problem of what's happening in Ukraine is a spiritual issue. Ukraine actually has a long history of Christianity. Does anyone know who the first missionary out there was, for any history buffs? It was actually the Apostle Andrew. It's amazing, but in the first century, we had the original apostles went as far as from England all the way to India. Here's a photograph that was taken using an ancient camera. It's actually the Radziwiłł Chronicle. But Christianity kind of wimped out shortly thereafter. Andrew was crucified as a martyr for Christ. And it wasn't until the 9th century that two monks came from the Byzantine Empire. Cyril and Methodius were their names, and they translated the Bible into Old Church Slavonic. Now, I say they translated the Bible into Old Church Slavonic, and you're probably thinking, okay, they took the Hebrew and the Greek texts and translated it into a new language. That's not exactly correct. Actually, they translated not from the Hebrew text, but from the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible. They were part of the Eastern Orthodox Church, and the Eastern Orthodox Church really doesn't emphasize biblical study like they should. In fact, once the Russian language started becoming popular before they even stretched the Bible into the Russian language. They translated the lives of the saints and all these other things. It wasn't until the 19th century, this is the 9th century, so it's not until the 19th century that the Russian Synodal Bible came out, which was the first Russian translation, or Slavic translation, really, from the Hebrew text. Now, think about that for a minute. If you have a Christianity for 1,000 years, and they don't even use the original languages, can you just imagine what kind of philosophy and theology is coming out of this place, right? Of course, here at Austin Bible Church, goodness, y'all have the original languages every day. not so in that part of the world. So Christianity developed out there, and it was a very weak Christianity. It was an Eastern Orthodox Christianity that's very works-based and everything. And it wasn't too long until the 20th century come along, and the socialist movement became prominent. Here is one of many propaganda posters against religion that you see from the days of the Soviet Union. At the top, Rozdestvo, that means Christmas. And we see the procession of Christians, right? We have the three wise men and all that good stuff going this way, backwards in time, followed, of course, by your dirty American capitalists, right? But they see the Soviet Union as being progress going forward towards the bright future, right? The red star of communism as opposed to the star that heralded Christ's birth. This is the idea of what Christianity was for 70 years in the Soviet Union. And of course, if you have this kind of worldview, the atheistic worldview, you're going to have a lot of problems, right? Now we're into the 20th century. This is where the conflict with Ukraine really begins to have its roots, right? Here's a map of the region. This is modern-day Ukraine with the black border around it. This is Crimea. It's the area that's kind of under question right now. And over here we have the eastern region where most of the conflict is happening. Okay, what you see is the red areas. In 1932, 1933, there was a genocide in Ukraine. Ukraine was part of the Soviet Union, and the Russian part of the Soviet Union came over and forced a starvation onto this region of Ukraine. They took all the food out, said, hey, we're having a famine in Moscow, and we need to redistribute accordingly. So they took all the food away, and of course there wasn't any kind of famine going on in Moscow. You can look just north at the white areas, right? That's Russia. Moldova is pretty well untouched. This far region over here is absolutely untouched because it was under Poland at the time. So there wasn't really a famine. They were just forcing a starvation onto these people. Many, many people died from this forced starvation. And then the Russian part of the Soviet Union took the Russians that they didn't like and displaced them, moved them into all the apartments and everything where the Ukrainians were formerly living. Does that make sense? Very corrupt system. And so down in this eastern part, there were a lot of people that don't really fit in with Ukraine, right? They don't speak Ukrainian. They're from Russia. They don't really fit in with Russia either because they were displaced. They were moved out because they didn't like them in Russia. So there's now a whole new culture in this part of Ukraine. They're in Ukraine, but they're not Ukrainian in the sense that the Western Ukrainians are. This part of Ukraine is completely untouched by the famine. So you've just basically divided a country into two and completely displaced them. Of course, when the Second World War II kicked off about 10 years later, the western side of Ukraine said, we don't want to side with the Soviet Union. They just inflicted a genocide and mass murdered a whole lot of Ukrainians. This side says, we don't want to side with Germany by any means, right? They're over here trying to kill all of us. So there was actually a time when Western Ukraine fought on the side of Germany to oppose the Soviet Union. So we see today in America a lot of strife over the controversies surrounding the Confederate battle flag, right? There was a civil war in America. How long ago was that? 150 years ago, is that right? And even today we're having these problems. The civil wars that happened in Ukraine happened during the lifetime of people that are still alive today. So you can just imagine what kind of strife is going on back and forth. So really what's happening here is the people in this part of Ukraine have always been misfits, if you will. So they're trying to become separated from the rest of Ukraine. And the rest of Ukraine is saying, hey, if you separate, you're just going to become slaves to Putin. So we're trying to have some kind of resolution on that. That's the political front. What is the spiritual front? It is all based in an atheistic worldview that is perfectly fine with committing a genocide so long as it accomplishes the goal of the greater good of the Soviet Union, right? It is entirely spiritual. Politics are just something that came out of the spiritual conflict. In fact, this is a little propaganda map that you'll see floating around Russians. The top says political map of Ukraine. And they say that this middle part where it's blue and yellow is actually true Ukraine. The western part, they're still the Nazis, you know. This part over here should be independent. So there's a huge propaganda war going on. And it's very effective because a lot of people only speak Russian and they can't have access to German media, American media, or any others. All they have access to is Russian propaganda that's pushing that agenda. This, by the way, is a map of the linguistic divide. The big yellow part is the Ukrainian-speaking area of Ukraine. The blue part is more Russian-speaking. Lena is from Dnipropetrovsk, which is as easy to say as it is to spell. So what are we doing about it? Well, whenever missionaries came to Ukraine initially after the fall of the Soviet Union, they focused primarily on translating into Russian, which is wise. With Russian, you can reach Russia, Ukraine, Moldova, Belarus, Kazakhstan, Tajikistan, all these other languages. After the revolution, what we saw is a lot of people in Ukraine specifically are trying to speak predominantly Ukrainian. The problem is most Ukrainians are much like this mouse right here, right? If you go into your local Bible bookstore, pretty much everything you come across on the shelves are a bunch of traps, right? Teaching, for the most part, Eastern Orthodoxy or Greek Catholicism, but the small minority that is indeed Protestant is predominantly ultra-hyper charismatic theology, Benny Hinn, false miracles, prosperity gospels, and all this and all that. And it's mostly in Russian. So what we're trying to do is take a slightly different approach and actually translate into Ukrainian. With all of the hype about the Ukrainian language, having actual Ukrainian books on your shelf is like, ooh, eye-opener, look at this, we want to read this. Yeah, that's a picture of Maidan. So here are three books that we're really excited about working on right now. Perhaps you're familiar with the writings of Zane Hodges. He was a professor at Dallas Theological Seminary way back when, before it went crazy progressive dispensational. We're working on these three books, The Gospel Under Siege, Absolutely Free, and The Hungry Inherit. We're wanting to put these two into Ukrainian and this one into Russian. The idea being, if you have three books by the same author that are available on the shelves, that's an eye-opener. You frequently hear people talking about authors rather than individual books in Ukraine. So we're trying to take advantage of this little aspect of Ukrainian culture. By having these two in Ukrainian, people that walk into their local Christian bookstore and see Russian this, Russian that, Russian this, Russian this, Ukrainian, it's like they'd automatically draw their attention to it. So we were really excited about this project. We really think that it's got a lot of potential out there. But that's not all we do. We also do, translation is a sort of a long process. It's a hurry up and wait kind of thing. You know, you get the book into the translator's hands and you kind of wait for them to translate and then they're ready. And then you got to shuffle around, look for proofreaders, and then you wait. In the meantime, we're going to continue doing various outreaches and conferences as we have in the past. Here are some pictures of various conferences we've done. Here's a hermeneutics conference up in the top left corner that was quite international. We see a couple of Russians, an Iranian, even a Western Ukrainian that's got a Bible school, and an American all in one picture. We're actually living in Lvov right now, which is in Western Ukraine. And we've had the opportunity to reach out and really help the local church with various outreaches. This is an English program that we use some of our English materials for. Had the opportunity to talk with a Greek Catholic about the gospel there. It was really encouraging. Top right, we've got a project there with various students from different Bible colleges and different ministries that are trying to form ministry. So we can talk about that more in detail later. This is probably my favorite picture, by the way, of all of our conferences, because here I am speaking, right, and everybody's all being attentive. Lena, on the other hand, not so much. This was a conference about church and ecclesiology, and it was like midnight when we took that picture, so they just got the right picture at the right time. In addition to doing translation and outreaches there in Ukraine, Bold Grace is an American publishing project ministry. So we've had the opportunity to do some works in English, including this little booklet, Getting Started, Basics in Understanding Your Bible. It talks about the very basics of hermeneutics in a very small book format. We've translated this, by the way, into Russian and even had a hermeneutics conference in which we used the materials from this book. 21 Tough Questions About Grace is the big project we were involved with for the past year. We got 19 different pastors and theologians and missionaries together to handle 21 questions that we frequently hear about the gospel. It was a real pleasure to be a part of that. I wrote a chapter on, doesn't James say faith without works is dead? How does that fit into everything? Paul says that it's by grace that we're saved through faith, so. Got to find some way to make that work. We got some other books that are available out there if you'd like to purchase one. The Guts of Grace is a big handbook with 34 different lessons on everything from hermeneutics to the kingdom. Here's a recent book, Four Essentials of a Healthy Church, written by the same author as this one. He's one of our board members. He's planted churches in Evansville, Indiana, and now he's working with church planters all over the world. So drop by our table, or you can ask me or Lena questions about those if you'd like. One more program that we're really excited about starting up is the Bold Grace Apprenticeship Program. We've noticed across the world that seminaries are teaching people what to think, and then they give you a diploma and a handshake at the end of the year and send folks out to start their own ministry or submit their resumes elsewhere, and frequently it's difficult to actually get into ministry if you have a diploma. So we're trying to take a little bit of a different approach. We're starting the Bold Grace Apprenticeship Program in Allen, Texas, and Lvov, Ukraine, and it's a two-year program in which we teach candidates how to study the Word of God for themselves, not just what to think. And in the second year, we actually have them start a ministry such that at the end of the program, they're in ministry and we let them go, not just with a diploma and handshake, but actually with a ministry that they're involved with. So this is an exciting program. Lynn and I will be going to Evansville, Indiana in the fall to teach Greek and systematic theology to record it and to be used in this program as well. So if you know anybody that would be interested in traveling to Lvov, Ukraine for 2 years to get into ministry, let me know. If you're not interested in that, I'm not going to try to talk you into it because that's a terrible sell. Very difficult to talk someone into giving up 2 years of his life to go to Ukraine. But it could be the right fit for somebody. Our website is boldgrace.org. You can go to freegracetranslation.weebly.com for more information about our Ukrainian translations. We got a table set up in the back if you'd like to grab a book or talk to me or Lena, we'd love to talk to you. We're currently in the United States trying to raise financial support for our ministries. So if you would like to hear more about how you can get involved financially, we'd love to talk to you. Or if you've got some other crazy question or just want to talk about the dispensation of the fullness of times, we'd love to talk about that too. So thank you so much for your time. Bob?